Welcome to the Non-Dual Performer podcast. My name is Sam Katadia, and we're going to be discussing performance in all walks of life. And we hope that this podcast will develop your curiosity and your insight around what it means to perform well.
Hey, welcome back to the Non-Dual Performer podcast. I'm here with Sam Katadia. And we're going to be chatting about meditation. What do you think about meditation, Sam? What's your what do you see when you look at the world of meditation?
Well, in my own experience, I'm bloody struggle with it, to be honest. I can't sit still. You know, just still trying to figure out how to do it, to be honest. Maybe that's why I can't do it.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an action in it. Maybe there's an insight in that. Okay, so my early experiences of meditation were that you meditated in order to get somewhere, to find a state, to relax your mind and body, which you do, to be fair, when you meditate. But when I did meditate, there was still an element where I felt I was looking for something, mm-hmm. that I felt that meditation was a doorway into an enlightened state, that it was somehow there was a material quality that would be found through meditation. So if I focused on my breath, that somehow, you know, I disciplined myself. I used to think that meditation allowed you to be able to control your thoughts, feelings and emotions. I thought somehow you gained more control over what was happening in your mind, and I found it hard. And when I look back, I think the real insight was the struggle of it and the impossibility of the task of changing what is an infinitely fluid experience. Experiencing is happening. And the idea that there we can somehow become the pilot of that experience through mindfulness, through different techniques, that was really my take on it. And I thought, well, mindfulness sounds pretty good because you focus on your feelings, you watch them come and go, and you know, I think, you know, there is some value in that. To a certain degree, where I struggled with was, and this is my sort of the recent exploration is, well, who is which is doing the observing? Who is observing the, you know, the thoughts coming and going? And I always thought it was Sam Katadia doing the observing of these thoughts. So I had this kind of belief that was seeing all of these thoughts, that somehow, right, the mind body is the observer in all of this. The mind body is the thing that I need to do the work on. I need to improve. I need to really fine tune my mind body needs to fine tune my meditation practice. And you know, I found it exhausting. Of late, I'd say that my understanding of meditation has opened up, but we talk about that in a minute. I mean, what's been some of your early experiences of meditation, if any?
Yeah, so for me, meditation was primarily a method to avoid what I was going through in the moment, whether that was anxiety, tension. It was a goal to get to some place. There was never a sense of knowing whether I was doing it properly or what it was I was meant to be doing. There was always a sense of the ever-changing thought path phenomena, which was ungraspable and wild in its own right. And there was also a sense of contrivance in the belief structures being built around manifestation, around becoming some kind of spiritual being and a sense of, you know, not quite being there yet. And then there was a sense of failure when after meditating for a couple of maybe weeks and feeling like, oh, I'm such a spiritual being, and then something really like pointless, which doesn't really matter, happening, and then feeling like a total failure. Like, for example, I don't know, someone like pushing past you and you feeling a bit rubbish about yourself, and then being like, oh, this is a sign that I haven't meditated enough, or that I haven't arrived in this spiritual state. And that was my experience in my early 20s.
Yeah, I hopefully you haven't stuck that big post of the Aston Martin in the castle on your bedroom wall.
My dream board. You know, I'll get there one day.
You know.
My vision board or whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. And no offense if that's something that you're doing now. I'm not trying to make you feel like a fool. It's just my experience of meditation and manifestation was very much a contrivance and moving away from what is already present and already powerful.
We all do it, like Jamie said. Meditation can easily be turned into a device to avoid and to resist. The worst time to meditate is when you think you need to meditate.
Exactly. I've really got to meditate. I'm too anxious. Oh, I'll just meditate now. Is it working? I can't tell. I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah. And it's important to know that everything is a meditation. Right now is a meditation. Meditation is a point of knowing that stuff's happening. Really, not from a mind body experiencing all this stuff, but there is a happening, there is a rising, there is a dissolving of experience, and it's moving, ultimately finite. And for me, meditation has become a far more expansive word. You know, I think Francis Lucille said, you know, meditation is a universal yes to everything. Because it is ultimately every moment is a spiritual experience. If we somehow take a practice in order to get to a higher state or a higher feeling or a material end or a goal, then we're kind of saying we're not having a spiritual experience. We're kind of saying that I can do this better, and that sense of separation is what actually can deepen our suffering, deepen our sense of getting lost in belief systems and methods to cope and rely, because ultimately we're trying to find ourselves within ourselves. So what I mean by that is everything's happening now. It's not happening to you or to me. It's happening almost through us as an agency of the knowing. The knowing force is there. It's always there. The all, you know, call it awareness, consciousness, whatever you want to call it. But knowing is always present. But we're so fixated in the known that we try to manage it. We try to control it. We try to modify it. And we overlook our very own simple being, which is I am, and being is being, it's now and nowhere else. So this sort of misappropriation, for me, meditation it's a bit of a double-edged sword, really. I think it, in essence, the notion and the exploration of what meditation truly is quite sacred and powerful. On the other hand, it can be misappropriated as a way to somehow resist, find, seek, fix, magic away certain problems if I meditate so much. And ultimately, you'll just exhaust yourself. And I think let's bring our knowledge to, you know, the Buddhist term nirvana. Nirvana just means exhaustion. It's not a exotic state, an esoteric high floaty state. Nirvana is an exhaustion, a collapse of seeking that state, and in that kind of releasing and exhaustion, we kind of obliterate the sense of self that's trying to find this illusory dog sort of chasing its tail, trying to manage and find and seek. It's possible to exhaust yourself in that process. So that, you know, playing sort of devil's advocate, if you really go for it in meditation, you do it like 10 hours a day, a bit like Alan Watts sort of did fanatically over in, you know, I'm not exactly sure where he was when he did this, but
that was with the Zen teacher.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That exhausted himself to realize that it really is a futile pursuit, meditation in a practice sense. So that, in a sense, paradoxically, meditation can be helpful because it's the realization through direct experience that this is a bloody waste of time.
but
that needs to be really experienced at the in your own direct experience.
Again, it's not something that you can try and think yourself into, or, you know, which, you know, comes back to allowing things to fully be as they are, you know.
Yeah, and Maharishi's self-inquiry, I think, questions are really powerful instruments of the mind and intellect, because questions, when they're introspective, are deeply powerful. So what is this feeling made of right now? What am I sensing? Where can I feel experience coming from? Can I locate it? Can I pin down where my thoughts are arising? Or am I just in a bunch of experiencing? Is it just some experiencing that's happening now? And how does that make me feel with my outside world? Do I feel more intimate with it? Do I feel that it's intimately a part of me? How does my interaction change when I explore these questions? That, I think, we're getting closer to meditation, because it's an inquiry into what is, and that in itself is far more, you know, intrinsically motivated. It's far more about the pursuit of truth and insight, rather than it being of service to a illusory separate self. Mm-hmm. That, unfortunately, I still need to walk my way out of from these residual habits and preconceived ideas that society has drilled into a lot of us from a young age, since the day we were born. But the great thing is we can all sort of explore that together. Other thing I'd say about meditation: if you enjoy it, great. You know, crack on. You know, it's an activity like anything else, and it's probably better than, you know, if you find relief from it, it's probably a healthier practice than going out getting drunk or doing other stuff. So just know that meditation can't take you anywhere. It can't transform anything that already is. It can't transform your life. You know, it might provide you with a settling of mind to in fact launch an inquiry, to launch a heartfelt investigation with the pursuit of truth. Great. But meditation in its own right, to reach a particular end, to relieve yourself of certain thoughts, feelings and emotions, will ultimately create a dependency and a reliance, and ultimately make you come down harder on yourself when you realise you're not getting anywhere. As sort of Jamie said when he, you know, spoke about when certain events throw us, we think, well, hang on a minute, this meditation can't be helping me at all because I feel worse. And that really can spiral even more coping and seeking.
Yeah, yeah. And also self-hatred and self-blame. But is there anything else you want to say about that?
Again, I think I just close on what Francis Lucille said, that, you know, meditation is a universal yes to everything. Love all experience arising and dissolving. When suffering arises, use that as material. That's your, you know, your painter's oil paints. You know, you got a load of clay, or, you know, a sculptor, you got a bit of clay to work with. That's something in your hands to investigate and really get your teeth stuck into. So see suffering as material to play with, and to learn more about, rather than something that needs to be managed or avoided or obliterated. Explore it, get intimate with it, love it. And as Rumi said, the Sufiist poet, you know, that in the human guest house, that, you know, all experiences are welcome. They're all a gift from beyond. And they are all a gift from beyond, arising from the knower in quite a mysterious but beautiful way. And just get curious about that arising. And meditation is an inquiry into the now. And that can happen. The great thing about, you don't need to go off to that yoga center down the road, you know, queue up in traffic for hours to get there. You can do it wherever you want. You can do it now. You can do it. If experiencing is happening, then you've always got an invitation to meditate. So don't feel like it belongs in a retreat center or in India or, you know, in an ashram. It belongs to the now. To say that it belongs in somewhere else is almost an insult, if I'm honest, to the invitation that is upon us right now.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks everyone for listening. It's been a real beautiful conversation there, Sam. Thank you for everything. And again, you know, you can send in your questions via the Anchor page, and we look forward to speaking again next time. Take care.
Thanks everyone. Cheers. Thanks everybody for tuning into my podcast channel for this episode. Hope to see and hear from you all soon.